broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing. And listen,
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
Thunderstick. Thunderstick. Yeah, 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 Thunderstick.
And welcome to hour number two of our coverage, day three from the SEC Football Media Days on location, Radio Row, Hyatt Regency, Winfrey Hotel here in Hoover. Jay Henson on location with me back in the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, Crazy Charlie Sonye. And in front of me, I always brag about you, our next guest. Before I tell everybody who you are, back in this is my 12th straight SEC Football Media Days. And in 2008, when Tommy Tuberville was head coach at Auburn, he didn't look at his role in coming to SEC Media Days as a chore. Not only did he show up on the day that he was required to, this was back when it was a three-day affair, he would show up all 3 days. He'd be there in the morning. He'd be in there in the afternoon selling the Auburn story. The closest thing that we have to that is you, Derek Mason, head coach of Vanderbilt, because, you know, Vanderbilt's day is tomorrow.
Right.
But as soon as you get here, you don't go to your hotel room. You don't go to eat or whatever the case may be. You take full advantage of these opportunities, and that's what I admire about you. And I'm waiting, and I'm trying to throw out the gauntlet out there for someone to challenge you, but they haven't yet.
Well, I think what happens is this. I'm one who believes in this medium, and I believe that this medium, when you talk about sports radio, and has an opportunity to talk to grassroots fans. It's pure. Okay, it's not sound bites.
Right.
Okay, man, it's an opportunity to have a continued conversation, man, about our sports and about the things we believe in and about the things that we love. And I think, you know, Mr. Franks, man, you do it as good as anybody. So I really appreciate, you know, in my time in Nashville, I mean, you've watched me grow up. You've helped me grow. Okay, man, but you've provided plenty of conversation, you know, man, for us to talk about all things Vanderbilt and get better. And I thank you for that. I truly do.
I am honored that you would say that. You know, it's interesting because there's one school in the SEC in the state of Texas, right? Of the 42 players, so every school, all 14 schools, they send three players to represent the school over the 4 days. So 42 players. The state that has the most players of that 42, mm-hmm. the state of Texas with 9. And I bring it up because you know, you don't just come to us. You're taking on the responsibility to hit as many radio stations. Yeah, you have responsibilities tomorrow upstairs
right.
with TV and all that. But here's the thing. You know, you may not be talking, quote unquote, to a student athlete right now, but guess
right.
who you are talking to? You're talking to the parents of that student athlete that
no
may
doubt.
Be wanting to come to Vanderbilt.
No doubt. And I believe – again, when you talk about the medium, the platform, the opportunity even to talk about your brand and what you, in who you are, you know, character, integrity, a valued education. Parents are great consumers. Parents are smart consumers. You know, student athletes today are smarter consumers. And it's about, you know, man, with this stream, okay, of voices that you hear, how do you differentiate? You know, what do you talk about? You know, man, what are your players doing, you know, outside of football? What are they doing in football? Are you going to bowl games? You know, what opportunities, I mean, investment opportunities are you making in your student athletes? You have to be able to speak to a multitude of people about a multitude of things and make sure, man, that everybody still understands your brand, who you are, what you stand for, and that's worth something, okay? And so for me, I don't try to sell anybody anything, okay, man. I am who I am, but I believe what we have to offer is as good as anybody's in the country. So, man, if you want a great education, if you want the opportunity to grow your brand, okay, because you only got 4 to 5 years, okay, man, to do it. It's a short window of time, okay, and you better get it while you can, okay. Vanderbilt University is worth taking a look at because we do it as good as anybody. So if you get a chance, and I'm not just talking baseball, I'm not just talking golf, this thing is getting ready to get real hot, much like this city. Okay, Vanderbilt University is much like Nashville. It's growing fast. It's getting bigger. Okay, man, and it's only going to get better. So get it while it's hot.
How cool is that, the fact that, you know, if you're a coach like Tim Corbin, for example, second national title in 6 years, but he wasn't alone as far as the folks involved with the athletics department at Vanderbilt there to support him, and everybody's pulling for each other to the point that you just brought up and the direction that Vanderbilt is heading. I love the fact that you don't think that the education and the academics and all these things are obstacles. I love the fact that you understand that's what separates Vanderbilt from anybody else. Why not take full advantage of those sales points to get across and get that message across?
Well, if you think that the things that identify us, okay, the things that make us different are the things that hold us back, you're definitely at the wrong spot.
Exactly.
You're definitely in the wrong place. I mean, it's half empty, half full. I mean, it's really how you see it. Okay, man, I see it as being the place that's a destination place. You just don't know it yet. Okay, Vanderbilt is a destination education. Nashville is a destination city. The SEC is a destination place to play football. Come and get it.
I'm going to tell you another cool stat that I just, because I'm a weird like that, work as a former media relations director, mm-hmm. I started figuring it out because I knew that obviously Keyshawn Vaughn representing the city of Nashville, state of Tennessee. Yeah. My first thought was I'm going to see how many players are from Tennessee, the state of Tennessee, of the 4 days with the 42 players we're talking about. Well, only Nashville of the state of Tennessee is represented. So forget about the state of Tennessee at this point. The city of Nashville, three players. There's only four states with mm-hmm. more players of that 42 being represented here. There's 15 total states being represented. Mm-hmm. The city of Nashville has more players of that 42 than the state of Florida this week.
Yes.
And so, where is Vanderbilt located?
Hey, Nashville.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, man, last time I checked, Nashville. So that's what we're talking about. This place has grown. I mean, it's the high school talent. It's the idea. And granted, not every young man wants to go to Vanderbilt. You know, I mean, some of these young men, have lived in Nashville their whole lives, and they think they know Vanderbilt, so they sort of bypass. But you know, a guy like Juwan Williams, okay, man, you know, I mean, he sort of flips it a little bit and does something different. And then you have a young man in Keyshawn Vaughn who I saw play high school football. I watched him, become Gatorade Player of the Year. I watched, everything that Keyshawn did. And here's what happened. You know, we weren't very good. Okay, Keyshawn is stuck between, do I go to a place where I'm going to have to continue to, make excuses for how come we're not good, okay, or go someplace where I can, get away from some things for a minute. And so – he leaves. But because our relationship had been cemented in truth and in honesty, when he decided to leave, he came home. He saw it. He watched from a distance. He knew that we weren't quite there. And not only did he come home, he came home, sat, and became a scout team running back for a year. Maybe the best scout team running back in the country. He was a scout team running back. He never missed a practice, never missed a day. And this is a young man, okay, that represents Jefferson Street, okay, to the fullest. I mean, anytime I see somebody at the barbershop, Keyshawn, that's my that's my nephew, that's my cousin, that's my cousin's cousin. It's amazing. It's amazing exactly what's transpired. Juwan, Keyshawn, they're changing the narrative. They're making kids say, let's get let's look at Vanderbilt and see about getting an education. We can, play in our city. We can get a great education. We can do it in front of, our family, our fan base. Why not take a look at it? And guys like Cam Johnson and Gavin Schoenwald, this thing is now starting to become a movement. And that's what's been special for me, to try to grow a brand and see – good players now start to take on the identity, of what I think Vanderbilt has to offer to them.
Derek Mason, head coach of Vanderbilt, joining us. I've already used this. I asked this as a trivia question. I have yet to find anybody that comes close to the answer to this question. I said, okay, there's one team represented by players of the 4 days from the 14 teams. That one is a wide receiver that led the league last year in receptions. The other one, a tight end that led all tight ends in catches. And following the other one was a running back that led the SEC in yards per carry. They didn't come up with Vanderbilt. Wasn't their second guess or third guess or fourth guess. You've got a strong leadership contingency coming and representing Vanderbilt tomorrow.
Excited for these guys. Excited because they all chose to come back. They didn't have to come back. They chose to come back. They came back to be better football players, to get degrees. All those guys will graduate in December. How special was that? To see these guys come in here, finish their careers, and believe me, they want to leave this place better than the way they found it.
Right, and see that's the point right there.
Yeah, that's what's special. You know, man, coaches are begging and pleading. I didn't beg and plead. Okay, I talked to young men about a place where they're trying to go that I've been, and believe me, you know, I mean, it's easy to chase the money, but really. Okay, you may not get a second chance to do this all over again. Okay, I mean, and again, it wasn't a sell. These guys reached the conclusion. Listen, I don't think there's any coach out there good enough to help or talk young men into coming back once they've talked to an agent, once they've, you know, man, seen the money out there. So this had to be a decision that was based on their own wants, needs, and desires, and they decided to come back. These guys, and I think that's one of the biggest stories here. Okay, when people have a chance to interview these guys, why did you come back? Because, you know, in this day and age where it's so easy to go, you know, man, and try to, you know, get the dump truck to back up a little bit of money, you know, why? Because college isn't paying you what the NFL could pay you. So why come back? But I think it's much bigger for these guys. I think it's about that locker room and being able to do it one more time. I know it's about skills, okay, that they can build on. But it's also about, you know, guys having invested in them and now them giving that investment back. And that's money. That's true riches in this game because, you know, when you're a college student, you're not getting rich. But when you find a family, man, that's rich in what they do and what they're about, and you know no matter what you do, they got you. Man, that's different. Those are the guys that are in your wedding. Those are the guys, man, that become godfathers to your children. That's what it starts to look like, and that's what we have. It's a different team, a different year, and now's the time.
Derek, I like to prepare before I show up for the 4 days, but I don't like to overly prepare. And what I mean by that is I want to have a good grasp of the 14 teams, but I wanted to learn things this week. So I don't want to have all the answers before I ask questions. And I learned something this week. I had Gene Chizik on, mm-hmm. And, you know, he was a head coach of Auburn when they won the national title in 2010.
Right.
But I was talking to him about his coaching days when he was a part of Boots Donnelly's at MTSU, of his coaching staff. And I learned something because you just assume, well, if you're on the coaching staff, you know how to teach football, right? That he was telling us that's where he learned how to teach football. You can play it, but it's a different story from playing it and being able to actually teach. Everybody always talk about coaching up. It's teaching. At what point, when did you figure out that you're pretty good at teaching football?
It started for me, and I've never chased a job. I've lost jobs. And but I've never chased a job, and I didn't lose a job because I wasn't a good coach. I didn't lose a job because I wasn't a good teacher. And here's how I'll explain this quickly to you. Like, to me, when you talk about, you know, teachers, coaches much like teachers are specialists, okay, in their subject matter, okay, and you have to be able to talk it front to back, okay, up and down and side to side. Okay, and when you talk it, it has to be in a way that relates to them and makes them understand the language that you're speaking. That's what teachers do. Okay, now you move from a teacher to being an educator. Okay, an educator. Okay, I mean, to me is somewhat it's different because when you're an educator, like that's what a coordinator is. A coordinator is an educator because he knows what everybody is supposed to do. Okay, and he's teaching coaches. Okay, man, how to do it. I learned this in high school because I watched my high school coach, okay, man, become the first person that I worked for, and he was a math teacher. So he was ever so meticulous about teaching and what it was and making you understand. I mean, he had kids, man, that didn't know how to add, let alone fractions and move decimal points and understand, but he helped them understand. And I was one of those kids. So that's when I knew, man, that this may be what I want to do. And when I worked for him, he made sure, he cemented every day, okay, the idea, do they know or do you think they know? What does that look like? Let's have a conversation. Are you doing all the talking or do they talk at all? Because if they're not talking, okay, and all they're doing is listening, you don't know what they know. And that's sort of been how I've looked at it, and that's where it's gone.
Derek, first of all, I want to say thank you. You've always been, over the years, I appreciate you taking the time out, not just for my show, but with Greg Pogue and the Big Joe Show as well. Yeah. In the morning. And you and I privately, we spoke about this, so I'm not going to get into that. Mm-hmm. I'll just say, obviously, I expect a very special year for you and your squad. Yes. I wish you all the best. Looking forward to visiting with you throughout the season. But enjoy tonight and enjoy tomorrow when you continue to represent and get the message across about Vanderbilt.
Mr. Ballpark Franks, man, I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you now.
All right.
Derek Mason, head coach of Vanderbilt, joining us. And like I said, we have so much to offer today. Looking forward to it. In fact, coming up on the other side of the break, somebody who understands a little bit about teaching football as well. And he kind of shares the same kind of background and story of way what Derek Mason talked about. Nick Saban, head coach of Alabama. He'll be coming up on the other side as our coverage of the SEC Football Media Days continues right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Latest rank with injuries out here on Murfreesboro Pike near Hamilton Church Road. OHB at Crumwell, that is an accident also at that intersection. It's picked up quite a bit in the last few minutes now. 40 East trying to get past Festers, headed out towards the airport. Old Lemon and Dirt Road at Wilson County, right there at the Wilson County line on a two-car collision. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Make the drive to 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
This is the sound of the DQ Cheeseburger Lovers deal being calculated by a cheeseburger lover.
Two DQ cheeseburgers. Huh, just $4. Two DQ doubles with cheese, only $5?
And this is the sound of that cheeseburger lover checking that math.
Wait. Two DQ cheeseburgers, $4, and two DQ doubles with cheese, $5. I'm burger rich!
The DQ Cheeseburger Lovers deal. DQ, happy, tastes good. Price and participation may vary.
Napa know-how.
This month at Napa, when you buy a 5-quart jug of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $24.99, we're making a donation to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund, which means your purchase makes a difference. So do some good and get a 5-quart jug of Valvoline Full Synthetic for just $24.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 7/31/19.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle. It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon. Amazon.
Congratulations to Tim Corbin and the 2019 Vanderbilt Commodores.
Vanderbilt, for the second time in school history, wins the national championship. And I believe you have just seen the greatest team in Vanderbilt baseball history.
The Vanderbilt Commodores.
We're glad we can celebrate among all of you, the Vanderbilt fans, the Vanderbilt community, Nashville.
Congratulations from your home for Vanderbilt baseball.
I think everybody loves having you guys being our flagship station. It means a lot to us.
Nashville Sports Radio. Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson on location. Radio Row, day three of our coverage of the SEC Football Media Days from the Hyatt the Winfrey Hotel, Hyatt Regency, getting all that out there, mouthful. And it's been a jam-packed show today. Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi State, South Carolina. A couple of traditions continue for me. You know, yesterday, once again, I had whichever quarterback represents Ole Miss over the 12 years I've covered the SEC Media Days. I kept that streak alive, having the chance and opportunity to visit with Matt Corral yesterday. And I bring that up because another one I started back 3 years ago, Jeremy Sprinkle, the former tight end for Arkansas, you know, just on a whim, I asked him to, you know, call the Hogs, right? And he did a slight hesitation, and I was getting ready to let him know, you don't have to do it, and then he breaks into it. I bring it up because I kept that alive again this year. We'll hear from Arkansas running back Devaught Whaley a little bit later on. We'll be with you tonight until 7. And this is the next part. I'm not going to try to be cool and say, oh, it wasn't a big deal. And I go back to yesterday. When you think about, you know, most powerful people in all of college football, I had the commissioner of the conference on and Greg Sankey. I had Bill Hancock on, executive director with the, you know, the college football playoff. You know, yesterday, Brad Nessler with the SEC on CBS, starting off the day with Gary Danielson with CBS, Derek Mason, head coach at Vanderbilt. And, oh, by the way, earlier today, and Jay got a nice taste of it, and back when Crazy Charlie Sonnier was with me 2 years ago from Radio Row here in Birmingham, the Bama fans, they came out in full force earlier today. There is one guy that dresses up each and every year as Bear Bryant, and I went up and talked to him about it because as he's gotten older, because I remember seeing him years ago, he's got the houndstooth hat on, the whole outfit. But I've noticed as he's gotten older, Jay, he looks now like Gene Stallings, who another former head coach at Alabama.
That's very true.
So I went up to him. His name was Dixon White, and yep. From Alabama. And I went up and talked to him, and I actually said that, and he had a big old smile on his face when I said that. I said, you're not looking like Bear Bryant anymore. You look like Gene Stallings trying to dress up as Bear Bryant. But I get all that, and I bring this up because earlier today, Alabama, and we'll hear also a little bit later on from Jerry Jeudy. Oh, by the way, the top wide receiver in college football last year. We'll hear from him. Also, Alabama linebacker Dylan Moses. But I also had a chance, a very rare opportunity, one-on-one opportunity with Nick Saban, head coach of Alabama. Here was my chat with Nick. Nick, this week we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission, and, you know, I'm a decade younger than you, but I was six, still remember where I was, and I don't reflect back on history because I get lost in it, but I utilize those things to help me grow as a person. Whether it's that event or any other historical event, what has moved you the most and inspired you the most?
Well, I mean, obviously that was a great accomplishment, but in my lifetime, I mean, we've had so many great things happen. We've had to overcome so much adversity, you know, as a nation. I mean, the big thing that I had to live through when I was in college was the Vietnam War, the shooting at Kent State when I was a student there. That probably did as much to stop the war or get us out of Vietnam as anything. So there's been a lot of historical events. There's been a lot of great people who have done a lot of great things, and there's been tremendous accomplishments. And the thing that I appreciate the most is when people do things of great quality, right? Whether it's all about the music that's great quality, whether it's about somebody professionally doing something that's unique in terms of what they were able to accomplish and do, whether it's coaching, whether it's players, whether it's athletes accomplishing great things. I mean, I have a tremendous amount of respect. I'm no big tennis guy, but the way these two guys played in that tennis match
absolutely
on Sunday, unbelievable. What great competition, what great competitors, and you hate to see anyone have to lose. And it's so much appreciated by fans.
I had a chance to visit with Gene Chizik earlier this week, and we were talking about his experiences as an assistant coach at MTSU. So before, that was early 90s, then you move forward to 2010, and he was talking about how he was learning how to teach football. He played it, but teaching is a different story. We know you're a great recruiter. At what point did you know you could be a great teacher of football?
You know, I never really ever wanted to be a coach. I mean, so it was a different experience for me. I was always one of those guys when I was a player, though, when I played quarterback, I knew what every guy was supposed to do on offense. I knew every block, I paid attention, you know, that way. So, you know, and as a leader of the team playing quarterback, I could tell a guy, hey, you were supposed to pull on that play, or, you know, you were supposed to block the defensive end and we just got sacked or whatever. So I always had this sort of big picture sort of way of looking at the game. But then I became a defensive player in college, and that was completely different because I never played defense ever in my life because I was always a quarterback. So I had to sort of develop a unique perspective in that. But our secondary coach left my senior year, after my senior year.
Right.
And I think that's why Don James called me in and said, will you be a graduate assistant, because you played for 3 years in the secondary and you know all the checks and calls and all that. And I said, I don't want to be a coach and I don't want to go to graduate school, so why would I do this? And he talked me into doing it. And it was largely because my wife had another year of school, and I couldn't really go leave and take a job. And I loved coaching. When did I figure it out? I always tried to figure out, what do I have to do and how do I have to look at this and who do I have to go talk to figure out how to teach this guy how to play? All right, so I spent an enormous amount of time when I was a young coach talking to other coaches, trying to figure it out. And I don't know exactly when I figured it out. But probably as a secondary coach, it wasn't until I coached in the NFL, because I learned so much from the players. You know, the players, Everson Walls, Frank Minifield, Steve Brown, you know, all those guys were great players at the time, and I coached them in the secondary, and they taught me more than I knew. So, and I learned how to coach different styles of players, different ways. Didn't coach everybody the same way once I coached in the NFL. So I think all those things sort of contributed, but when did I know I could teach? I don't really know that.
You know, I worked before getting into sports talk radio. I worked in college administration, sports administration. And during the off season, one of my friends, Kurt Heidelberg, he coaches football overseas now. And he had posted on Facebook a picture of the 1990 coaching staff. And I'm looking at, oh, wow, there's a Nashville connection. Oh, there's another one. Oh, wait, there's three. L.C. Cole became head coach at TSU. Kurt Heidelberg was an assistant at TSU. And, of course, Dean Pease, now the defensive coordinator with the Titans. You know, you're talking about experiences from other coaches, learning from other coaches as well. What would Nick Saban today tell Nick Saban in 1990 at Toledo?
Run the spread. No, I don't know. I mean, I've learned a lot. I think the biggest thing for me is relations with the players. I guess through the years, you learn how to reach more people. When I say reach, I mean motivate them to be what they can be. Not just as football players, but as people and as students and as players. And I think having all those experiences through the years with so many players, and, you know, we've always sort of had people assist us with the psychological disposition of people and human behavior. So that part of it has probably been the thing that I've grown in the most. And because of that, I think we've been able to help more players have success. And that's what it's all about. And I think if you look at me back then, that probably wasn't a strong suit. But it's something that through the years we've been able to develop.
One final question. You know, I had the chance to be an honorary coach 2010 Alabama's A-Day game. And one of the things that I took away from that experience, things that anybody can utilize no matter what industry they work in, is the pure organization. And, you know, if you want to be successful, you have to be organized. How has things changed from that standpoint back from 2010 to where your program is today?
Well, I hope the organization is still as good as it was then. I mean, we obviously are always looking for a better way, and we're trying to, you know, find a way to improve the organization. But structurally, a lot of it is still the same. I think the personalities and the people change a lot. But we're always looking for character quality people who can communicate, develop relationships, are knowledgeable, and fit in from a relationship standpoint with everybody else in the organization. And hopefully that's still, you know, there. But I wouldn't think you would see a whole bunch different. Names are different, but hopefully the culture is the same.
Nick Saban, head coach of Alabama, sitting down and visiting with us earlier today, day three of our coverage of the SEC Football Media Days. It's been fun, I have to admit. You know, I'll never take this for granted, Jay, and certainly got a lot of attention and got a lot of love back home in my hometown of Huntsville. Yes. So big thanks to the folks down there. Look, they take their football serious in Alabama, obviously, and, you know, a lot of other programs do too. But 365 days. I always joke, by the way, Jay, that before you start, before you spank the baby and they start crying, they have to make the determination as soon as you come out of the womb, are you a Bama fan or an Auburn fan? And you got a little bit of taste of that today with the Bama fans here in the lobby of the Hyatt Regency Winfrey Hotel. You'll get more of that again tomorrow. Auburn, one of the three teams featured. But a little bit of a circus as far as with Nick Saban when he was walking around, and a lot of love for Coach Saban.
Most definitely. You can definitely tell around here that it's definitely football season, football time. And man, when Coach Saban came around, he had just a paparazzi, you know, avalanche following him all the way around, you know, here on Radio Row. And he did skip a beat. He did an excellent job, and it was an excellent interview.
Well, we talked, too, about the fact throughout the season about the mental toughness, the psychological standpoint of getting players and teams ready. He alluded to the fact that SEC Media Days, it's almost like the flag goes up and it's time to get really serious about an upcoming season. He also talked about, because of the way last year ended in January against Clemson, talking about reestablishing the standards. We'll get into more of that conversation coming up on the other side of the break when we hear from Alabama wide receiver Jerry Jeudy, along with Alabama linebacker Dylan Moses. They're coming up as day three of our coverage continues here from Radio Row at the Hyatt Regency Winfrey Hotel. Big thanks again to all of our sponsors making it possible for us to be here this week, including Richard Courtney. You know, every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line, and it's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan. You can go to his website, richardcourtney.com, or call 615-300-8189. That's 300-8189. Richard Courtney, part of Frederick and Clark Realty, 615-327-4800.
Johnny, hello. And your listeners need to know that the nicest guy at SEC Media Days is Johnny Ballpark Franks.
You've always been so kind.
It's just true. It's easy to tell the truth, Johnny.
Well, good afternoon. There's a couple of new wrecks out here in the last few minutes. Highway 100 at Hester Beasley Road, that's out in West Nashville. Clearing a wreck at 2800 block of Murfreesboro Pike. Traffic's still very busy now as you make your way not only outbound on Murfreesboro Pike, they're out past OHB Bell Road, but it's also very busy to the south, 65 down into Brentwood. Princess Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. They started all this hot chicken craze. Go by and see them at 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Napa Know How.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/19.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Tennessee. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. High school sports, there's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Your exclusive national sports radio, WNSR, Sky Scan forecast. Well, this afternoon, clouds and a few showers and thunderstorms, high 90. Partly to mostly cloudy, a stray shower or thunderstorm tonight, low 74. Thursday, partly sunny, we can't rule out a shower or thunderstorm, the high 94. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network and National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson on location Radio Row from the SEC Football Media Days, Hyatt Regency, Winfrey Hotel. As I said, day three of our coverage back in the Goggin Cole-Hall studio, making sure everything runs smoothly back there. Crazy Charlie Sagne. And, oh, by the way, before we get to our next interviews, I noticed something earlier today. After, you know, when we have interviews, we post them on all forms of social media, on Facebook, on Twitter. Make sure you're following us, by the way, on SoundCloud. But the and Charlie will appreciate this, too, when he worked with me 2 years ago. But when we get things covered, and one of the beautiful things about having the – sometimes we take this for granted, but the three players – that represent the school, so 14 schools times 3, 42 players, right?
Right.
But, you know, it's a big, big, huge honor to be asked to represent their school at SEC Football Media Days. But the other part of I bring it up is not just their family as far as their teammates and that support system that they have, but it's always fun for me when I see one of the interviews posted and I see it being liked and then retweeted by a mother or a sister or a father or whatever the case may be, because I was noticing that family members of Matt Corral, who we visited with yesterday, the quarterback for Ole Miss, who's a redshirt freshman.
Only 19.
And he's taken over the reins for Ole Miss coming up in the fall. And literally, and you don't get this when you're doing, say, by phone interviews, when you have a chance in person. And the fact at the end yesterday, I brought out the emotions in his eyes because I asked him a question, and my first thought was he didn't understand what I'd asked him, and instead it really moved him because I'd asked him, what is it going to be like to be, you know, running out on the field and knowing you're the starting quarterback for Ole Miss? And he paused for literally about 4-plus seconds before he finally got it out. He said he couldn't even put it into words, and you could see his eyes start glistening up, and I love that. I love being able to see the emotions, especially for these players. And we kind of take for granted of what they're going through. But they're young men developing into adulthood, per se. But to have this opportunity, but seriously, it's the other thing, too, the challenge and the fact that they're going to be asked all types of questions, having to go through the gauntlet. And it's so impressive for me, and it speaks well about the future, knowing these are the future leaders, not just as football players, but out in the communities.
Yeah, once you get out of football, I mean, some of them may be able to go to the NFL, but every one of them will be, you know, out there in the real world, and it's definitely something to see the emotion and just the pure, you know, like just the excitement of all of them. Every single one of them we've had so far has been that way, and it's just been incredible. And like they say, it's a blessing to be a a player at whichever university and institution, and it's a pleasure being here as well.
And it's reflected as far as with the two representatives that we spoke to earlier today from Alabama, because Nick Saban, he's not just preparing his players for the NFL, but look, a lot of them obviously goes there, but the bottom line is he's preparing them for life. First up, it's never a bad thing when the person who was named the top wide receiver in all of college football, the recipient of the Fred Biletnikoff Award, Jerry Jeudy, back for Alabama, leading that wide receiver core. Here is our chat with Alabama wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. One of the things when we look back at what transpired in January against Clemson is the fact that immediately you start looking at what went wrong, what can we correct to improve upon that, to learn from that bad experience. What has it been like for you, personally, as far as that growing experience since January?
It's been a tough moment, but, the last game, it really motivated us to, work harder than what we did before, Cause no matter how great of a season you have, you all got to finish strong. So it really helped us focus on finishing the season strong and just become better day by day.
I remember visiting with Trent Richardson, and we were talking about it was in between 2010 and 2011, coming off of that disappointing loss in the Iron Bowl where Alabama was up 24-0 before losing 28-27. And he was talking about the fact that certainly the season didn't end the way they wanted, but at the same time, they saw that score 28-27 throughout, and it was like that fuel that fed them and led eventually to another national title at the end of 2011. Are you experiencing a little bit of the same thing this year?
Yeah, kind of. Last year we didn't finish the season off how we wanted to, but we just used that as a motivation to better us this year, just finish the season off strong, play game by game, and just be the best team we could be throughout the whole season so we could have a chance to go back to the national championship and finish stronger than what we did last year.
Coach Saban this morning was talking about reestablishing the standards at Alabama. When you hear those words, reestablishing the standards, what does that mean to you?
Just focusing on little thing, just being disciplined, being coachable, and just being reliable each and every player and each and every play and each and every day, and just going out there and just focus on the fundamentals and details of the game and just help improve each and every day to be a better team we could be the best team we could be.
We go back heavily recruited out of high school. You land there in Tuscaloosa, and you're going up against these outstanding players on the defense from Alabama. You can't help but get better knowing what you have to go up against day in and day out, just against your teammates on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, that will really give you a lot of confidence. Going out there each and every day, going against the best players that came through out of high school. Now you're at Alabama, one of the top schools in the nation, and just going out there competing with those guys really, really motivates you to each and every day work hard and get better so you could not only be lapped but stand out for your talents and your hard work and ability to be out there each and every day getting better.
I'm looking at you across the way here, and I was asking earlier this week with some analysts from ESPN talking about the fact that what's it going to be like at Alabama this year in the offseason leading up to week one against Duke. And it wasn't just the word focus, it was the word laser focus. I can look right now to you, and I can see it in your eyes, that today, what you're going through today, psychologically, game on, it's time to get ready for week one.
Yeah, we really laser focused, Like I said, last year really gave us a lot of motivation to finish out. We had a great year, but, we didn't finish it how we wanted to. So, the important game is the national championship, so it just felt like a waste of year, and we don't want that feeling under our belt again. So we really motivated and determined to go out there this year and just win it all.
If you have a message to the Bama fans right now, what can they expect week one against Duke?
Oh, it's going to be a very exciting game. We're going to be out there ready to compete and ready to go to work and ready to dominate each and every aspect of the game.
Alabama wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. And it's interesting, at the very tail end, as he was answering my final question, you could hear in the background, we're basically one table in between us and the lobby, and very loud today throughout the day as far as SEC football media days, with Alabama in tow. Other teams today, Arkansas, Mississippi State, South Carolina, we'll talk more about them coming up a little bit later on. Another Alabama player we had a chance to sit down with, linebacker Dylan Moses. And look, you know, when you know every program have, you know, each and every year they got different expectations. Yeah, everybody wants to win a national title. It's one thing to want it. It's another thing to actually have all the right chemistry and ingredients to get to that point. But had a chance to visit with Bama linebacker Dylan Moses, and here was our visit. Dylan, first of all, explain and your feelings about the fact that you get this opportunity to represent Alabama.
I feel really blessed. You know, I worked very hard, you know, to be put in this position. You know, coming from where I came from, you know, working hard since I was in high school, and, you know, being a freshman at the University of Alabama, like, to being a junior now and being looked at as one of the team captains, you know, it's a blessing, so.
We go back to what you knew coming out of high school, entering Alabama, to where you are today. How much have you grown, and how have you grown as an individual?
I've just grown much more as just like a team player. I mean, I was a team player before, but I was more so quiet, you know, when I first came in. And I've developed, like, really great relationships with my teammates and coaches. And, you know, everything is just great, so that's far.
What's it like putting on that uniform and knowing all the greats that have played your position, that have played for Alabama, and knowing you have that opportunity on all these Saturdays to represent the Crimson Tide?
Oh, it's an honor to be able to know that, you know, the linebackers in the past has came through that was All-Americans or Buckets Award winners. You know, it's a lot to learn from them. You know, and guys that still comes back to the facilities and the program, and they're trying to give back information and all that, pass down, you know, the torch and whatnot, is great, you know. So I try and soak up as much information as I can.
Dylan, we go back to what happened in January. Yeah. Certainly a disappointing way to end last season.
Right.
How quickly were corrective measures taking place to solve the problems of what went wrong back in January?
I just feel like it was a, you know, lack of preparation. You know, we weren't ready for that game. And, you know, Clemson was just a better team that day. You know, and we learned from our mistakes, and we're just moving forward.
How does that fuel you starting with Duke, your very first game?
You know, we're taking each and every game, one game at a time, treating every game like it's our last, you know, and playing with, you know, a chip on our shoulder.
Alabama linebacker Dylan Moses joining us earlier today of our day three coverage of the SEC football media days from Hoover. One of the other teams featured today, Arkansas, and coming up on the other side of the break, we'll get a chance to hear not only about what Deva Whaley feels. He's the running back for Arkansas, one of the three players representing the Razorbacks. But got to call the Hogs, right? And Deva did a wonderful job. That'll be coming up on the other side of the break as our coverage continues. This segment brought to you by Picasso Auto. In Nashville, there's a group who have gotten together to right the wrongs so many buy here, pay here car dealerships have made. Discover Picasso Auto, where they work with both rebuilt title and clean title cars. It's their way to pass the savings on to you. Now, most of their cars have been bought from auctions where Picasso Auto selects only the best, and then they make sure to meticulously repair each vehicle like creating a piece of art. Now, after the car is rebuilt, they must pass their inspection as well as the state of Tennessee's. Then Picasso Auto is able to sell them at a lower cost, and in most cases, we're talking about 10 to 20% under the suggested retail price. Picasso Auto, making available paperwork, pictures, and receipts for all of their cars, especially the rebuilt ones. Warranties, you ask? They've got them. See them at 3319 Nolensville Pike, just south of Thompson Lane, or go to their website at PicassoAuto.com. Call them up, 615-933-1111. That's 933-1111. Picasso Auto, the art of autos.
Well, good afternoon. There's a couple of new wrecks out here in the last few minutes. Highway 100 at Hester Beasley Road, that's out in West Nashville. Clearing a wreck at 2800 block of Murfreesboro Pike. Traffic still very busy now as you make your way not only outbound on Murfreesboro Pike, they're out past OHB Bell Road, but it's also very busy to the south, 65 down into Brentwood. Princess Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. They started all this hot chicken craze. Go by and see them at 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-204-0145 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-204-0145 to take your call now. Call 800-204-0145. That's 800-201-0145. Again, 800-204-0145.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The Open Championship, or the British Open is what most people call it, getting underway during the overnight hours. Odds to win this year's event: Rory McIlroy is the odds-on favorite. He comes in at 8-1, and then Brooks Koepka is right behind him at 10-1. Some of the other notable odds: Dustin Johnson has the third best odds at 16-1. Tiger Woods also coming in at 16-1. Matt Kuchar and Ricky Fowler both have 30-1 odds, while Phil Mickelson comes in at 100-1. For the latest odds all the time, visit VSiN.com. I'm Matt Pauly. This has been your Action Update on Nashville Sports Radio.
And now the fine folks at Southern Grounds would like to take this time to remind all Americans to show support to the brave men and women of our U.S. military. Their tireless efforts shall never go unnoticed. This proud salute has been brought to you by Southern Grounds. For the finest quality landscape architects, landscaping, and irrigation serving Nashville and the surrounding areas, call 615-424-8871. That's 615-424-8871. Southern Grounds. They're people who care.
It's a Bill King show.
Jim Corbin is one of the best coaches that I get to watch. Any sport, any day. He has taken a Vanderbilt baseball program and has made them the preeminent program in the United States of America. He's been to 3 natties in 6 years. He's won 2 of them. That's all-time kind of stuff. That's legendary stuff.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you, along with Jay Henson on location, Radio Row, day 3 of our coverage of the SEC Football Media Days. Already we've heard from a lot of guests and had a chance to catch up. I love the players, too, like Jerry Jeudy, along with Dylan Moses with Alabama. Another player we caught up with earlier today, Arkansas running back Devwa Whaley, and he had a chance to visit with us, and he called the Hogs as well. Here is our chat with Devwa.
Knowing the Arkansas football tradition, you know, the fans are certainly hungry for a successful season, but probably not more so than you and your teammates. Moving into this new season, second year with Chad Morris as head coach, how is it different, and what, you know, talk about, if you would, the progress of your squad?
Just being more comfortable year two, especially when it comes to the offense with me. With the older guys, you know, just – with the playbook period on the offense and defensive side. Man, you know, just continue to do what we do and just grinding in the weight room, on the field, in the classroom. And also, you know, just helping bring those younger guys along so they could do the same thing in the future.
We talk about and what the fans and the expectations that they have, say, for an Alabama and Georgia, and what they, you know, the players having to tune out that noise. From your standpoint, also tuning out the noise, you know, they see what everybody else has. It's like, how come we don't have that? To get to where you need to be, you have to be able to block out that noise.
Right. Man, we can only focus on what we can focus on and control what we can control. When it comes to stuff like that, we just have to continue to keep our head down and grind and, you know, just believe in the process and take one day at a time.
You play in a conference for top to bottom. We're talking about a lot of quality teams. It doesn't take a lot for you to get juiced up on any given Saturday, does it?
No, it doesn't at all. I mean, sometimes, you know, you get juiced up at the beginning of the week for practice, you know. And you want to be like that every week going into a game and, you know, just – It just helps you and it drives you, you know. It just gives you that burst and that energy, you know, that you're ready to go out there and play it Saturday.
Before you get out on the field on game day, what's your pregame ritual? Do you have a song, or all you got to do is look at who the opponent is that day?
I have a playlist. I go out, you know, do a little previous warm up, listen to that playlist, you know, just kind of block out everything and, you know, just get my mind right.
If you would, you know, talk about the, you know, playing for Chad Morris as head coach. You know, what has that experience been like for you?
It's been a great experience, and he's a great coach. He's an even better person. He believes in his program, and I believe in him too. And, you know, we're going to continue to go in the right direction.
Jeremy Sprinkle, 2016, former tight end with the Razorbacks. I asked him to call the Hogs. Has anybody ever asked you to do that, or are you ready to go?
Nobody's ever really asked me to do that.
You have the opportunity right now, especially for all the Arkansas fans back in Nashville. Here's your opportunity if you want to go for it.
All right, let's go.
All right, go for it.
Ooh, Big Suey. Ooh, Big Suey. Ooh, Big Suey. Razorbacks.
You know what I love about you and love about what Jeremy did? When I asked Jeremy to do that, I was going to quickly give him a chance to say, it's too early, you don't have to. Before I could say it, he was already going full ball. He was ready to go. So, but here's the thing. I won't tell Jeremy this. You did a much better job.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So this is – you're just getting started, obviously, you know, representing Arkansas here. It's going to be a full day for you. When you knew and when you were notified that you were going to have this chance to represent Arkansas at SEC Football Media Days, what went through your mind?
Man, a lot. Yeah, you know, it's an honor. It's a blessing, you know, to be here. You know, it means a lot, and you know, it just, man, it's a great experience, man. You know, it's something that a lot of people don't really get the opportunity to do. So, you know, just being here means a lot. Being here with a lot of these great athletes from other school, and you know, just meeting a lot of people and just having fun.
As far as expectations in 2019, what do you have to say to the Razorback fans?
Man, just get ready for the season. It's all for you guys, man. We've been working hard, and we're going to continue to work hard. We're going to take each and every day one by one, and, you know, just ready for kickoff.
Arkansas running back Devaught Whaley, good sport, a lot of enthusiasm. He's ready for 2019. We're getting ready for 2019. We still have another hour to go, day three of our coverage of the SEC Football Media Days on location from Radio Row, Hyatt Regency, Winfrey Hotel. Hour number two in the books. Hour number three coming up. Stay with us, everybody.